today is Friday, April 5th, and welcome to episode 319 of Fault Lines, the National Security Institute's podcast that gets you quickly up to speed three times a week on the national security and foreign policy debates shaking up America. I'm NSI Senior Fellow Morgan Vigna, and I'm joined today by NSI's Deputy Executive Director Jessica Jones and my fellow Senior Fellow Lester Munson. Today we are discussing Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen's second trip to China. Her first trip was last July following a flurry of high-level U.S. visits. This one is a follow-up of sorts, where she intends to advocate for American workers and businesses to ensure that they are treated fairly, including by pressing the Chinese on unfair trade practices and consequences of Chinese industrial overcapacity. This visit follows a probe announced by the U.S. Commerce Department in February to investigate whether Chinese vehicles pose a national security threat due to data they transmit. Side note, your humble Fault Lines crew recorded an episode addressing this on March 1, so go back and give it a listen. Now, while in China, Yellen had a two-day stop in Guangzhou, where she met with economic experts, American business leaders, and the governor of Guangdong province. In Beijing, Yellen met with the head of China's central bank and finance minister, as well as the CCP's number two, Li Guang. Meanwhile, at home, lawmakers are calling for higher tariffs on China, and former President Donald Trump said that if elected, he will impose tariffs on China that could be higher than 60%. Also this week, Biden spoke to Chinese President Xi Jinping to follow up on the leaders' November meeting in California. This seemed more of a touch base and an attempt to stay in touch given their previous silent treatment of one another. So I find myself asking here, what is the Biden administration's play on China? What does he hope to accomplish, and what does Yellen hope to accomplish while she's in China? And why are these diplomatic overtures, are they working? It doesn't really seem like the administration is getting a lot here. Jess, I'm going to turn it over to you first.
Speaking of our Fault Lines repertoire, I was thinking back to kind of this time last year and how much, you know, we were all, both the show and Americans were focused really on the Chinese spy balloon incident, and that dominated every headline and really rose the idea of China as a danger kind of to the forefront for the average American. After that incident, you know, diplomatic communications were just at a standstill. Every high-level meeting was canceled. Nothing was moving, right? And we've seen the Biden administration continue to try to make overtures, and they're finally seeming to make headway, get some meetings set. But to your point, what wins are actually happening or what policy accomplishments we're seeing seem very minimal at best. I think, you know, there was a little bit of progress on the fentanyl issue and cutting down Chinese promises to help cut down precursors being sent to Mexico, which obviously fentanyl is a huge issue. So not to minimize that. But other wins seem hard to find. So you do have to wonder, you know, Yellen's tour trip to China, you know, coincides, you know, right before she left with a domestic whirlwind tour she was doing through a lot of swing states, talking about protecting American industry. And so what she's really trying to accomplish, not sure. Obviously, it seems like Congress, the administration, Yellen, is trying to seem hard on China as we walk into an election year, right? And perhaps signaling that they're just as tough as, you know, former President Trump. Who knows? To your point, I'm not sure exactly what the goals are, though.
Yeah, Les, building off of Jess's point here, is this all tied to the election? What are we actually going to see coming out of the Biden administration? Do we see any policy changes by China, whether it's security or economic? And what would need to happen for China to be persuaded to change its ways, so to speak?
China's not going to change its ways. But yes, this is entirely about the election. I think the Treasury Secretary is going over there to beg the Chinese for a little bit of relief from the flood of cheap, high-quality exports that China is about to send our way, which, by the way, we have been begging them to provide for us. We provide all kinds of artificial incentives for solar panels, for electric vehicles. China makes them really well and really cheaply, and now we're saying, oh, please don't sell those to us. This is an utterly incoherent industrial and national security policy strategy in the long run. It makes no sense at all, except in the short term, to hold off a big bubble of cheap Chinese products coming into the United States before the election. So I think what the administration is hoping for is that Janet Yellen can get a little relief from the Chinese on their cheap, actually very good products before the election so that President Biden can get reelected. That is absolutely what I think her mission is about at the end of the day. Now, does that mean that the U.S. should be buying these products? I don't know. I'm a little agnostic on whether cheap solar panels are going to help China invade Taiwan or whether they're somehow bad for our national security. There's a decent argument that if they want to sell us cheap solar panels that are so cheap, it costs them more to make them than they get money from us, we should actually go ahead and buy them because that will undermine their economy in the long run. We don't really make solar panels here in this country. We are not, we should not be incentivizing manufacturing when we get stuff cheaper from abroad. That's kind of basic economics. And we're all living in a little bit of a fantasy land if we think that we can artificially change that over the long term. See this for what it is, a political gambit by the Biden administration to stay in power.
Right. So...
It almost sounds like the monopoly.
Well,
there's no danger there. It's like undercutting, though, rising new companies and industries. Like, okay, I don't know, Les.
Listen, at the end of the day, China can make stuff cheaper than we can. That is why they are a player in the world today. We could try to artificially change that. It won't be sustainable. It is the law of economics means that that is not going to work. So see this for what it
is. So no
tariffs
ever.
A temporary political measure. Don't be distracted by nostrums about cheap stuff from China and think that somehow the Biden administration is doing a good thing here. They are not.
So Les is the ultimate free marketeer here. I think we can establish that here on the Fault Lines podcast.
Thank you very much.
We're the badge proudly, Les. So Les, Jess had previously mentioned that, you know, The Chinese just launched a case against the United States at the World Trade Organization. What do you make of that?
Well, you know, that's fine. This is the rule-based order that we say we want China to abide by. And if there's an independent arbiter that can kind of settle some of these trade disputes, that's fine. At the end of the day, if China can make cheap stuff for us that isn't built with slave labor and doesn't help their military-industrial complex, I really honestly don't see how we don't have a choice but to go ahead and buy it if it's something we need and want. And this administration says, in particular, we would like to have a lot more solar panels and electrical vehicles so that we can save the planet from, a fiery death or something. So if that's true, then why wouldn't we be buying them? By the way, I don't think that's true. And I think the artificial incentives to buy solar panels and electric vehicles are a huge mistake. And we should just let the market determine what it is Americans buy, because that in the long run is the smartest and best policy and is what ultimately got the United States to the top of the global heap, because we respond to market forces. We sell stuff to people that they actually need at a price that is good for us and good for them. And again, at the end of the day, if China wants to sell us something that is cheaper, cheaper than it costs them to make it, we should buy it, because that will undermine their economy, which might be a good thing for us in the long run.
Well, so Les, what about all of the stuff that China's sending to us that pose security threats? I mean, clearly the microphone that I'm using is from China. Is that a security
We're
threat?
We're not supposed to admit that on air, Morgan.
I know.
Yeah, mine too, by the way.
Really, clearly throwing, NSI under the bus here. But like, to what extent, I mean, you wear the free market, badge proudly, but to what extent are you comfortable with us importing and buying Chinese products?
Well, there are obvious areas that have been identified as strategic sectors of the economy where if we effectively and help their economic development there, we might be building up their military capability. I totally agree we should not be doing that. However, we should also be aware that this stuff is politicized by both the Biden administration and former President Trump and his campaign. And we need to be real hard-eyed about what is a national security threat or not. Are cheap solar panels going to help China invade Taiwan? I'm not convinced that they are. Some people will tell you anything from China that we buy is a national security threat to the United States. But you simply couldn't tear the two economies apart without creating a worldwide depression. That would be a massive disruption to American lives and livelihoods and would be utterly counterproductive. So we just need to be real hard-eyed here about what is actually in our interest and what is not in our interest. We need to see this trip by the Treasury Secretary for what it is. I think a very political move to get a little window of opportunity for the Biden administration to get reelected.
So what would you, if you were planning Yellen's trip and goals, like what would you want her to do? Accomplish if anything, or would you just not even send her over? You have no concerns about what's, China, U.S. I'm an economic.
I think if she's going there to complain about intellectual property theft, about the treatment of American business people who are often detained in China for arbitrary reasons, if she is going there to say you need to open your markets to our products, including Facebook, Twitter, Google, all of these other things that are actually banned in China, great, go do that. Encourage them to buy our stuff too. A little reciprocity is fine, and she should be using that as a threat. But this kind of going over there on an industrial policy mission, I think everyone should see it for what it is.
Yeah, it just seems to me that she seems to be trying to, as the diplomatic community says, hold that space and continue to build on her previous trip, given the silent treatment that this administration has had towards China, especially last year. So with that said, that's a wrap. Thanks so much to Devlin Burney, Claude Jennings, and the NSI staff for their help in producing today's episode. Join us again on Monday, April 8th, for another episode of Fault Lines, the National Security Institute's podcast that gets you smart fast on the national security and foreign policy debates shaking up America. Fault Lines is now on YouTube, so be sure to check out our channel for a video of today's episode. If you like what you heard or saw, be sure to rate, review, and subscribe. Have a wonderful weekend.